Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church. How y'all doing today? Good? Praise the Lord. Hey, my name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve here as lead pastor of our church, and it's my pleasure to introduce our incredible guest with us in just a moment. I want to take a moment and give a shout out to everyone who is new here for the first time and everyone who is joining us online. Our live stream service is continuing to grow. Our online campus is continuing to expand and grow every week. Whether you're watching us live on our podcast, live on our website, our app, or watching through Facebook Live, and if you're watching throughout our podcast later on demand, we just want to say welcome to all of you and thank you so much. Especially if you're part of the military and you're watching on a PCS or on a deployment or you're traveling overseas for your job in the military, we just want to say thank you so much for staying connected to your church. We're praying for you. I know our family prays for you every day, and I know our church does as well. In fact, this week we had a loss of life with a family here in Clarksville with the 160th, and we are going to serve that family the best we know how, any way that they need us to. But we also want to remind you, all of us, to be praying for our soldiers and those who are deploying and serving every day. Psalm 91 says, Lord, we pray that you give your angels charge around us to watch over us and to protect us. Amen, everyone? So pray Psalm 91, and thank you for those of you who serve in our military. I just can't thank you enough. We love you guys, and we're honored to pray for you and to cover you in prayer every day. So thanks for watching as well on your deployment while you're serving. We appreciate you guys. Hey, this morning, we are blessed to have one of my great friends come and speak to us today. In fact, he was our speaker for our men's conference. By the way, we had 500 dudes here for our Strong Men's Conference Friday night. It was an amazing night. Great, great night. And a life-changing event for us. And we're so thankful for the Strong Men's Conference. Emily Loomis and her team did a great job preparing that and planning it for us. But today, Pastor Choco is here to speak to us, and he's going to continue in our Romans series. We're in the book of Romans all year, and he's going to continue in Romans chapter 10. Since you brought your Bibles, go ahead and grab that. But on your way out today, he's got a new book, and I told him I wanted to plug his book for you. This guy, everything he talks, everything he preaches here on the stage and everything he talks about in his ministry, he lives it, and this is part of who he is and how he is. So he's going to have this available for you in the lobby when you leave, and he'll be out there to sign a book for you if you pick one up as well. But he's a friend of ours. He's been here before, and I'm going to introduce him. He's got a video about his book, so you can hear a little bit about it. And then when that's over, I want you guys to stand and welcome our good friend, Pastor Choco de Jesus. Check this out real quick.
When I was growing up, there was never enough. Not enough food in the house, not enough time for school and work, not enough money in my mother's purse. You see, growing up in Humboldt Park, one of the worst parks in Chicago, I learned quickly not to want much, expect much, hope for much. It's just the way life was. See, my dad abandoned my mom and six kids. She was doing the best that she could do. And like many Puerto Rican families with very low resources, but big problems, I watched many of my friends and my brother get involved with gangs. I witnessed neighbors and extended families battle addiction and domestic violence and gang violence. But through it all, I kept thinking, there has to be something more. There has to be something better. And perhaps I even decided going down that same path that my brother and friends did, until I found something better. The abundant more that it can only come from one source, my friend. There's only one thing that can get you out of your challenging situations that you're facing. And it's not money, it's not education, it's not political power. In fact, it doesn't matter if you grew up in Humboldt Park or you shop on Michigan Avenue. The more I found has no boundaries and no limits. It can take you higher, stretch you farther, and hold you closer. The more that I'm talking about made the difference in my life. And then there was more and more. Essentially, what I'm trying to tell you is that with God, there's no ceiling. My friends, I only have one question for you. Are you ready for the more that God has for you?
Hey, would you stand to your feet and welcome our good friend, Pastor Choco de Jesus. Come on, everybody. We're so glad you're here, man. Welcome.
The Lord, thank you. You may be seated. Wow, I feel at home. Even though I'm from the hood of Chicago, I feel like I was born in the South. Somehow, the way I talk in Chicago, like you all and this Puerto Rican kid talking like that, I'm so glad to be back. How many of you remember me 15 months ago I was here? How many at the school? At the school, I preached at the school, and then the following week, you all came into this building. And what a beautiful building that you all have. That was a great opportunity for you all to say amen. I'm going to say it again, and you guys say amen. What a beautiful building you all have. What you guys are experiencing here in Tennessee, in Clarksville, does not happen across the United States. You have a pastor, his wife, the team, that's just believing that God can do more. And I don't want you to settle for less when God has ordained more for you. Come on, listen. Y'all need to help me out, because back at home in Chicago, you know, that amen just comes out. Just comes out. Preach it, brother. Amen.
Amen.
And so God has more. And I want to challenge you all, because when you get into a building like this, you settle. And you think, you know, we're in the honeymoon state. We're in a new building. What more? You know, and then when pastor comes up here and he's got vision, you're like, again? No. God has called this church to touch the nations. It's a tough crowd, I want to encourage you all to continue to believe that God's going to take Life Point to a place you have. The Bible says in Corinthians that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, mind cannot conceive what God has in store for you. You believe that this morning? You have no idea what God has in store for you. And I'm living in the more of God right now in Chicago. I'm living in the more. Every Sunday, people are coming to Jesus. Last week, we baptized 32 individuals out in the street of Chicago. I'm just telling you, there is more for Life Point. Amen? Well, the last time I was here, I introduced my family. Let me show you a picture of my family. It's growing. My family is growing. That's my wife, Elizabeth. She'll be here at the next service. My wife, we just celebrated 30 years of marriage to the glory of God. 30 years of marriage. My oldest daughter is right behind me there. That's her husband. They're worship leaders of our church. They run all of our campuses and worship and music ministry. And then to my left, your left, far left, that's my youngest daughter, Jasenia, and her husband. They're ministers of Master's Commission. They run a great ministry there. And then my son, and that's his new bride. They are married over a year. Now, if you are a good mathematician, you're doing the math, and you're saying, OMG, he is an empty nester. Yes! Glory to God! I'm not crying. No. You got to go. You got to get out of my house. All my three kids, you got to go. I'm not that Puerto Rican father that says, no, you guys stay with me. I went, no. Go in Jesus' name. I'm like in Psalms, you know, the arrow and the quiver. I'm going to shoot you out in Jesus' name. And then let me show you this picture of my granddaughter. Yes, that's the effect I wanted you guys to do. This is Reagan Liv Hextrom. She was just born 2 months ago. How many grandparents we have here in the house? Isn't it awesome? Now, I can't. Yeah, that's right. It's good to be a grandparent, because I tell people that having grandchildren is a gift from God for not killing our children. The Lord is like, I got to bless Choco, because, well, he went through hell with these three kids. I'm going to bless him. And here's my other granddaughter. She's the oldest one. This is Charlie Grace Gomez. I don't know, you know, we're my girls, you know, they got these names. You know, back in the day, it was just Maria Lupe, Maria, you know, Reagan Liv, Charlie Grace. Anyway, pray for me. Hey, when you came in, we're so glad you're here. If this is your first time in Life Point, I just want you to know, welcome home. You don't need to look anymore. I want you to be rooted. Amen. Amen. I want you to be rooted. This is a great church. I would have not come here to Tennessee if I didn't love your pastor and believe in this house. You guys have grown in the last 15 months, like double since the last time I here. And I like to think that it was because of my sermon the last time I was here. That's just me. That's just me. Don't play with me. Come on. But your pastor and his wife and the team, they're doing a phenomenal job. And if you are looking for a church, you have found it. You have found it. This is a great church. When you came in today, we gave you like the sheet here, like an insert in the program. I want you to take that out. Would you take that out for me? Well, let's go right into our teaching this morning. We're glad you're here. And as Pastor said, right after the service, how many love to read books, first of all? All right. I'll be in the back with you. I'll be in the back. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. The last time I was here, I don't think I had glasses. Now I have glasses. It's not because I'm like having problems with my eyes. I think just the letters are getting smaller. That's what it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. Open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, and share your bread with somebody. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in what? Together. In what? In him. And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone what? Tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring what? Good news. Good news. Good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? Verse 17, y'all. So faith comes from hearing. And that is hearing the good news about Christ. I want you to notice something here this morning. Notice the sense of urgency. Notice the sense of urgency. The rhetorical questions of Paul in Romans. He says, how can they call on him? How can they believe? How can they hear about unless someone tells them? For me, as I read Romans chapter 10, I begin to sense in the tone of voice of the Apostle Paul a sense of urgency. How would they know? How would they know? How can they hear unless someone tells them? You see, in the beginning of chapter 10 of the book of Romans, Paul is expressing his deepest desires. He says, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. Now, that's a big statement. But where does that statement come from? I believe it came straight from the heart of God, because Jesus himself commissioned Paul to proclaim salvation to the Gentiles. By the way, that's you and me. Praise God that someone came to you and told you the good news. Praise God that God took you out of the mess that you were in. Don't make me preach this thing. I'm trying to teach it to you. Praise God that while you were in your mess, while you were in the pool of blood, God saved you. He saved your marriage. He turned your life around. He restored you to the Gentiles. And from that moment, when Paul began to proclaim salvation to the Gentiles, Paul was transformed from a persecutor to a proclaimer. Thank you back there. Thank you. Because when I wrote this, I said, this is going to get a lot of amen. I'm going to say it again to give you guys an opportunity. From that moment, Paul was transformed from a persecutor to a proclaimer. In Matthew chapter 28, in his final words, Jesus gave us the great commission to go into all the world. Go and proclaim. It was the great commission, y'all. It's not the great suggestion. By the way, if you don't like my preaching, or teaching, whatever you want to call it, pastor said that I can do whatever I want, like if it was my church. And you all know, you need to all know this, because in my church, I come down and I start slapping people. So you all better be with me if not coming down. It was the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. So what I'm saying, that every believer, that's you, every believer becomes a proclaimer. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a proclaimer. Yeah, every believer becomes a proclaimer. The Word of God, watch this. The Word of God produces faith that leads to salvation. A saved life, when you are saved, and I told you, God takes you around, He saves your marriage, He saves your son, your daughter, and He transforms you. A saved life is a thankful life. When you are thankful, and I'm trying to teach you here this morning, that having a heart of gratitude is the key to heaven's door. The people of Israel, listen, y'all, let's learn from them. Why were they in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they complained. You know what I'm talking about. In Chicago, they complain about everything. I tell my people, we complain when it's 90 degrees, when it's raining, when it's snowing. We complain when it's spring, every time. Let's just be grateful to the Lord. Let's be grateful to the Lord that the car turned on. That 20-year-old car you have. That you were praying as you were walking to the car. You're like, oh, I hope this car turns on. Thank you, Jesus. So a saved life is a thankful life, a grateful life that overflows, watch this, overflows to other people. So if you are grateful life, it overflows, and other people that are around you get impacted. That's how it's supposed to be. God saves you. You hear the message. You believe the message. It transforms you. There's a metamorphosis that happens. You're transformed. You're grateful. And then as you go on your spiritual formation, your journey, you're so grateful that it overflows to other people. Other people are impacted. The Bible says in Psalms 105:1, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has what? Let the whole world, listen, Facebook was not for you to complain that your food was messed up and that, you know, your car wasn't clean the way you want. No, Facebook was designed, in my opinion, so that you could tell the whole world, know how good God's been to your life. And what does a thankful life look like? What does a thankful life look like? It looks like one who proclaims. It looks like an evangelist. The Great Commission today is that we are called to evangelize. The word evangel equals good news. The powerful 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said evangelism. He said, it's one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. Because men are hungry. America is hungry for the Word of God. Someone needs to tell them, God has saved you. Men are hungry for the bread of life, and we are to feed them. We're in the business, y'all, of telling others how to be filled. Evangelism is not a method or a program. Often when the word is mentioned, people get this mental picture of putting up tents and going door to door or waving a Bible on a street corner and so on. These methods are valid ways to reach those who need to hear. But at the heart of the matter is this idea of building relationship between people and God. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son because He wants a relationship with you. Let me tell you what evangelism is not. Evangelism is not inviting people to church or an evangelistic event. Inviting people to an event is important, but it's not evangelism. Evangelism is not imposing our will or beliefs on other people. I mean, we want to be persuasive in making the case of Christianity, but in the end, only God can change the human heart. Evangelism is not personal testimony. A personal testimony does not save a sinner. The gospel does. Yes, testimonies support the gospel's presentation. It's important to share your story, yet we must not confuse the gospel itself with personal testimony. Evangelism is not social work or justice or political involvement. Evangelism is not doing apologetics in order to win an argument. Evangelism is a believer sharing the claims of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a person who has yet to believe. So number one in your paper, number one, evangelism must be intentional. You must be intentional. Evangelism that comes from gratitude has four characteristics, and I want to be intentional. And I find the story, if you indulge me here this morning, I find the story of John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well. You've read that story. If not, I'm going to give you at least a quick synopsis of the story. In John chapter 4, we find that Jesus himself, he says, now he had to go through where? Samaria. Notice what Jesus says. I have to go. There's a sense of urgency. I must come to Tennessee and tell Life Point. It's not like I didn't have anything to do in Chicago. But I must come to your church and tell you that it's not enough to come to church. Come on, can I get a witness here? Because it's the same, going into McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. And no, you can go to McDonald's. It does. The fact that you go to McDonald's doesn't mean you're a Big Mac. And the fact that we go to church, it doesn't mean that we're Christians. But unless I live this out, unless I live this out and I share my faith with people, why do you think God saved me at the age of 14 years old? He saved me so that I can empty hell and fill heaven. So it must be intentional. And the Bible says in John 4, now he had to go through Samaria. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. And it was about what time? This is important, y'all. This is important. God gives you the time. In case, because, there's some people in the audience that needs details. And there's other people like others, I don't care. They're at the well. I got it. Keep moving. But there's other people who need. Anybody here who are very detailed people, raise your hand. Yeah, that's me. I need to know what time it is. I need to know where we're going. I just don't get in the car. I just need to know. Right? Just tell me. So the Bible says that it was, for you all who raised your hand, it was noontime. When, verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a what? A drink. Give me some water. A Samaritan woman. Now, for those who do not know, Samaritans were like half Jews, right? It's like half breed. As a matter of fact, some Jews consider the Samaritans like dogs, if you will. But yet Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. As a matter of fact, the Jews would bypass Samaria, and they were just like a plague. They just walk away from that city. Yet Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. I have an assignment. I have an appointment. I know it doesn't make sense. I know you don't understand it. And let me just tell you something here this morning. Understanding can wait, but obedience cannot. The problem with us Americans is that we want to understand things. And God says, you cannot understand my love. My love is really big. I love everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So here's Jesus. He's going by the well, Samaria. Let me just kind of play this out for you all. He goes by the well, and he sits there, and a woman comes, a Samaritan woman, who you and I now know that it's a half-breed. And Jesus says, woman, would you give me some water? Listen, this is the longest conversation between Jesus
and anybody in the Bible. It's a woman, a Samaritan, a half-breed. I'm going to give her significance because I came, the Bible says in Luke, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. And so he comes to the well. Watch this. He comes to the well, and he sits there, and he says, woman, give me some water. And then she goes on. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk. And she goes on, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus is like, oh, for the love of God, I just wanted water. Mija, just give me water. And she goes on. I like what John says in 8. Write the scripture down. John 8, 48, 49. The Jews answered him, are we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? And then Jesus says, watch this, life point. I'm not possessed by a demon. But wait a minute. They just accuse you of being a Samaritan and demon-possessed. And Jesus said, I'm not demon-possessed. Sure, I have no problems being a Samaritan. He totally excludes that because that's who he came for. So I have no problem being identified as a Hispanic. I have no problem because I want to save everybody. I want to share the good news, not only to the blacks and the whites and the Hispanic. I want to share the good news to everybody in Tennessee and let them know what God has done. So the God evangelism must be intentional. He had no problem associating himself with Samaritans, Jesus. And you should have no problems associating yourself with people who don't look like you, don't walk like you, don't act like you. Can't get no help. Listen, my job as a pastor, I'm going to throw the net. And I'm going to fish in Chicago. And they're going to come all sorts of fish. And I'm not the guy like, no, you're black. No, you can't come here. No, you're white. No, Asian. No, only look for Hispanics. And no. My job is to fish and bring them all in and let the Holy Spirit clean them out. The problem with us religious people, we want to fish and clean them out. Everyone is welcome. And let the Holy Spirit clean them out. Number two, evangelism must be accurate. Accurate. John 4, 19, 22. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Half truth is no truth. Let me ask you a question, Life Point. What is worse? What is the worst crime? Knowing the cure for cancer and withholding it, or knowing the good news or withholding it? What's the worst crime? You must proclaim the whole truth of the gospel. We're here for a little while. You do know that. You know, I'm not a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm death here. This is death. When I die is when I live. So evangelism must be accurate. And the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Number three, evangelism must be transformational. The woman said, verse 24 and 26 and 28, 29, the woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Look who she's waiting for. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Hey, I'm the guy. She says, I know the Messiah. It is noontime, it's hot. Nobody goes to the well at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. They usually go at 6 in the morning. But nobody likes her. Nobody likes her reputation. Nobody likes her character. So she goes by herself. And she's waiting for the Messiah as well. I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. And can you imagine as he's sitting there, like, that's me. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, I'm the guy. Then leaving her water jar. Now listen, What did she go there for? She went there to get water, physical water. The Bible tells you and I, she brings a bucket and a cup. Because she is thirsty. And can I tell you that people in America, they're drinking bitter water. They're drinking bitter water. How would they know if you and I don't tell them that we've got some sweet water if they want to sit down and listen to the message? The woman comes and said, Jesus says to her, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm the living water. If you drink out of this, you would never be thirsty again. And then, the woman, she's like, okay, give me this water. And Jesus said, you want water? Mija, I'll give you water. Jesus said, go get your husband. She says, I don't have one. He says, you're right. You've had five, and the dude you're sleeping with is not your guy. You want water? I'll give you more water. Because you and I know that water begins to penetrate through the crevices of rocks, and it penetrates the heart of man and begins to go deeper than anything. Water cleanses, and what this woman needed was someone to proclaim to her. What this woman needed was someone to come and tell her. She was willing to listen, but no one was willing to go to Samaria because they're a half-breed. We don't hang with them because we're Americans. And Jesus said, I must go. I must go. I love it. I've got to go. I have an assignment. And the woman's like that. She's like, look at me. She's like, OMG. This guy is a prophet. And she drops her bucket because she just drank water. She just drank water that refreshes her thirst. As a deer pants for the streams of cold water, so my soul longed after thee, O God. And Jesus came to give you living water. And if you're here today, you may have a hard heart. And I'm here to tell you that the living water can just penetrate through that. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to seek and save that which is lost. But once he saves you, listen to me, Life Point. Once he saves you, it's not so that you and I can sit in our behind in our churches. No, he saves us so that we can go out and tell the world. Number four, evangelism must be contagious. Must be contagious. You realize that this woman came by herself. She came by herself at noon. Then she goes to the town, the very town that she was trying to avoid. She goes and proclaims the message. She's running to the town. At first, when she comes at noon, she's running away from the town. When Jesus gives her the water, she's now running to the town. When she came to the well, she came by herself. When she comes back a second time, she comes with the entire town. At this point, she's like, I don't care what people talk about. I don't care if you don't like me, girl. Listen, you have no idea what God has did. That man over there, he spoke into my life. And I drank something I've never drank before. Yes. The problem with many of us, not this service, the other services, we're just too religious. And you think that there's no way God can save your son, your daughter, a prostitute. I see it in Chicago all the time. How God is still saving lives. And those same prostitutes would go out on Friday nights in the church van, and they begin to go out in the street and begin to be proclaiming the message. Right now, as I speak, I got 12 women at our farm. We own a farm where women can stay there a year, women who were caught up in human trafficking or prostitution. Who went to them? Other women who were saved from that same mess. How would they know unless someone tells them? How would they know unless they hear? And maybe you're here. Maybe you're here, you're discouraged by the faith. Maybe you're here and you're questioning your own faith, and it's hard for you to even believe. You say, Pastor Choco, I came here today because my wife told me and my kids, and I don't even know. And your question, I got it. And maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're disconnected with Christianity. But do you want to know what's the antidote for the discouraged heart, a discouraged faith? Here's the antidote. Become a proclaimer. Open your mouth and share the good news. It's not your news. You hear me? By the way, look at me. People tell me I look like my mother because of my eyes. And then people say that I look like my father because of my ears. And then people tell me, hey, you're like your grandfather. You're tall just like him. And you walk like your uncles. And I'm thinking to myself, is there anything I have that's mine? And then I started wondering, wait a minute. Even the gospel that I preach is not mine. This message is not mine. It's a message that transforms. It's a message that changed lives. How will they know? How can they believe? How can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those. That's you. That's you. That's me. How beautiful are those who bring good news. Faith comes from hearing the message. Hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. About Jesus Christ. Stand with me this morning for a moment. Watch this. Stand with me. Stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the what?
Gospel.
Which is the good news, the gospel. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is power of God. Look at me. We don't want to get the word out. We want to let the word out. We don't need to get it out. We need to let it out. And some of us here today, this morning, not all of us, God has sent me from Chicago to tell you, I saved you from alcoholism. I saved you from drug addiction. I saved your marriage. Let me ask you a question here. And pastor said I can treat you like if it's my church. When was the last time that you shared your faith with somebody? When you said you were intentional, hey, I'm taking you out to Starbucks, come on. I want to tell you what Christ did for me. Now, once you plant the seed, it's the Holy Spirit's job to water it. I'm not trying to say, okay, you want to accept Jesus Christ right now in Starbucks? No. My job is to share with you. Then your job is to relieve it, believe it, and receive it. But how would they know unless someone tells them? How can they hear unless someone doesn't send them? So this morning, I'm going to send you out. Throughout this week, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you all and those that are watching across this nation around the world to talk to four people. That's your assignment. You got homework. Because God doesn't save you so you could sit. He doesn't save me in the city of Chicago and rescues me from the pit of hell so that I can just be. Now I got to let the world know. I remember going to IHOP in Chicago, and I try to do this often in restaurants, and the waiter came and, hey, what's your name? He tells me his name. I say, I got a word of the Lord for you. And his eyes just went open because he used to be a Christian. Now, I didn't know anything about him, but I got a word of the Lord. I just feel like the Spirit, and I gave him a word. I said, can I pray for you right now, even before I order? Maybe I was just sent here, not even to order pancakes, but to speak to you. But who does that? A guy or a girl who's grateful for what God has done in their lives, that you have no problem sharing your faith. So this week, here's your assignment, four people. It may be in the elevator. You may hear the Holy Spirit like, talk right now. You're like, right now, right now. Hi, my name is Kathy, and I just want to tell you that how God saved my life. And you, now listen, Kathy,
if you're here, don't trip if this person starts crying, because God has a way of connecting things. He just needs somebody. He needs a proclaimer. I have a message, right? Jesus, I have a message, but I need people. Is there anybody here in Tennessee and in Clarksville and Light Point who just not only feel good, I want to be good. I want to share. So every head bow and every eyes closed. I want to say a prayer, and then Pastor's going to come and give us some words. Father, today our hearts are filled with faith. We have heard the great message of salvation and power and belief. Now here's where you come in, Life Point. I want you to repeat this with me. We commit. Come on, nice and loud. We commit to proclamation of this great gospel wherever, whenever you send us. You have filled our hearts to overflow. So now, we commit to go and tell others about your great love and proclaim your great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Choco. Hallelujah. How many of you say, I got something out of the word today? Come on, everybody. And hey, Pastor Choco, man, I speak on behalf of all that. You're welcome here anytime. You call me on a Friday, say, I got stuck in Tennessee, I need to preach. I'll move out the way, man. You just come on. We love having you here. And I get to close our service. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come, because we always want to give room for you if you need prayer at the end of our service. But I was thinking through this message this week with him and also Pastor Bo at our North Clarksville campus. And I want to give us an assignment leaving here today. Right, because I said at the beginning of the service, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word, right? And Paul says in this text, how will they call upon him for salvation unless somebody tells them? How will they hear unless someone preaches? Now, how will anyone preach unless they're sent? So my job today is to send you. Ready? I'm going to commission you to this thing. Now, here's what I want you to do. It's a three-step thing. Nobody move. Hang on, just don't leave yet. First thing I want you to do is I want you to think of those four people right now. In fact, let's do it prayerfully. Can you just close your eyes for just a moment? And I want you to let the Lord put four names in your heart right now. Come on, you got a coworker, a neighbor, a spouse, a son or a daughter, an enemy. Come on, the greatest gift you can give an enemy is the gospel. Think of four names right now like he asked us. You got your names? Say yeah. All right, nope, not everybody said it yet, so we're going to keep thinking. Come on, if you don't have four friends, pick on your enemies, your wife's friend. Get you four names. Now we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for them specifically that their hearts would be open. The Bible says that those who are perishing are blinded by the God of this world. Their eyes are closed to the gospel. Their ears are plugged up against the gospel. And Ezekiel says their heart is a heart of stone. Their heart's hardened. So we're going to pray that God open eyes, open ears, and open hearts for those four people. Ready? Come on, let's pray for them right now. Name their names. Say their names right now. God, we pray for these four people. We pray for Bill and Tina and Susie. God, we pray for Griffin. We pray for all these friends that we have. We pray for these four people right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would absolutely open their hearts, open their ears, and open their eyes to see the gospel, to hear the gospel, and to be receptive of the gospel of Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that this week, that God, the gospel would be presented to them. And now, here's the risky part. Here's what I'm asking you for, Life Point. Now we're going to say, Lord, come on, say it with me. Say, Lord, send me. Ah, you weaklings. Come on now, don't be scared of it. Say, Lord, send me to my friends. I'll open my mouth. I'll share the gospel. I'll tell others. Say, I'm in. I'm yours. Send me in Jesus' name. God, I commission this church right now. I commission this auditorium, everyone listening to this message right now. We are going to be sent out in the name of Jesus for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the missing. And God, these names that you've put on our hearts today, I pray for every one of them that they would begin to sense a stirring, a desire for living water. Lord God, that they would be coming to themselves knowing that they need their place in the Father's house. And God, send us to be ambassadors of your gospel. Give us the truth, Lord God. Give us the confidence and the boldness to share the gospel with those who are perishing. In Jesus' name. Everybody pray this with me. Last thing together, and we're going to close. Say, God, I'm all in. Say, I believe in Jesus, that he died for me. He died for them. He died to save me. He died to save them. I receive your salvation, and I want to tell others about it. Say, I'm all in. Send me. Send me in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord worship and honor today. We'll sing this last chorus. If you need prayer, come and get it. Come on.